Shall we pray? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this morning to grant to our minds our reason, our understanding, by your power that works in our hearts, you grant unto us insight and wisdom to receive the fullness that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ, that our minds be flooded with light, that there be no contradiction, no error, and no confusion in this atmosphere. We all receive Jesus Christ, your Son. See him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Right now. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at how to judge prophecies. How do you judge prophecies? You hear a prophecy, how do you judge it? Because you know that during the week, we've been teaching on the law and the prophets. Ephesians chapter 4. How to judge prophecies. Ephesians 4 and 11. Now watch this. He says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice he didn't say some pastors and some teachers, because pastors and teachers, they come together. And so he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, that became three, then pastors and teachers, making four. The word pastor is the word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, where you derive the word shepherd from, a shepherd of a flock, right? So he gave some pastors and teachers. So, or you put it like this, shepherding teachers, or pastoring teachers, because the word shepherd there is a continuing word, that is something they are doing, pastoring teachers, or shepherding teachers, right? So that's just one, actually. So now it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Notice that he mentions apostles, where you have apostolos. Then you have prophets, the word prophetes. And then you have evangelists, evangeliza, that is someone who takes the good news or the glad tidings. Then he has the word pastoring teachers. Then he says, for the perfecting of the saints, the word there is pros or pro, that is in view of. That is the reason why he gave is because of this. In view of, so each of those offices mentioned, they have a common work, which you can call their primary work. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, there are different words used for perfecting. One of them is the word teleos. Teleos, which you're going to see later on in verse 13. But the teleos here, perfecting as teleos, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, which refers to when you accomplish something, or you get to the end of a journey, or use it for maturity. Okay, but that's not what is in verse 12. The word in verse 12 is the word katartismos, K-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. K-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. Katartismos, which means to make something fit for use or to equip. When you say the place is equipped, fully equipped. Just like you have a car and then say there's an SUV. And the SUV is fully fitted for some conditions, right? Maybe the kind of journeys you can undertake, the kind of areas you can drive through is equipped. So that means that they put it in a position where it can function. So he says, listen carefully now, the work of the fourfold ministry is to equip the saints. So he says, for the equipment of the saints, pro karatismos, for karatismos, that is to ensure there's equipment of the saints, then pro again, or pros, for the work of the ministry. So, just like you equip the SUV car to be able to drive in some conditions, so you equip the saints to be able to do what? The work of the ministry. It's not to be able to make your dreams come true. No, or to get a good husband. That's also a dream come true. So he says, for the work of a ministry, then he says the work of the ministry is for the edifying or building up or strengthening of the body of Christ. Look at that. Including prophets. Then he says, verse 13, for the work of the ministry, till we all. Now, many of you know what that all means by now. P-A-S. We studied that word quite some time during the week. It's the word each of us. It doesn't mean that the body of Christ will now, everybody will now come together in one hotel. Sorry, hotel is small. In one stadium. We are heirs of the Father. See, this is what Jesus was talking about. In fact, I saw a preacher of the gospel that I respect. You know, he's with the Pope. Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict, the first, second, or third. I'm a Catholic, just not a Roman one. You know, and he says, oh my God. And they're all in the room with the Pope. And then he says, this is what Jesus was talking about. That they may all be one. And I'm saying, sir, you got that too totally wrong. See the unity of the faith. The Catholic, the Methodist, the Pentecostal Charismatic, the African Church, Jehovah's Witness, Latter-day Saints, everybody's coming together. They say, well, no. He says, till each of us pass, P-A-S. Each of them, that is, the work is for each of the believers. So he's not talking about people having common beliefs or dropping their beliefs for one common belief, no. He's talking about spiritual growth. Till each of us come, that is each of us, all right, come to the unity of the faith. Now before I go there, there's something I want to talk about quickly. Before, because look at the word prophets. Now, in Ephesians 4:11, you see Ephesians 2:20, Paul makes mention of a different task. He says in verse 19, and therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. This is, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, he says you are built. The word built there is a finished work. It's the word temelios. Built on the foundation is a finished work there. Temelios. You'll find the word used in Matthew 16, or before that, Luke 6:48 and 49, when Jesus gave the parable of the man who built his house upon the rock, and the one that built his house upon the sand. To build upon is not a continuous word; it means to establish. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying here? What is it, for example? Nigeria was founded in 1960, October the 1st, something like that, depending on where you stand, 1914. Get it? So, you see, Nigeria was founded. So, founded upon is not a continuous word that's used in here, upon the foundation. Then you have Luke 14:29 again, you know, Acts 16:26, the foundation of the prison. The foundation of the prison is not something that has been done. It's something that has already been done. Romans 15:20. There you find 1 Corinthians 3:11 and 12. That says, no other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid. So it's a finished work. And 6:19. So basically he means you are established on the establishment, or built on the established work of the prophets, of the apostles and prophets. Now, some people have erroneously said that that means that every church ought to have an apostle and prophets. That's crap. Because what he said there is past tense. Now, if you read further in chapter 3, verse 5, he explains what he meant. I'll start from 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I have wrote for in a few words. That's a continuation of chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Then verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Can we take verse 5 together? Let's go. Which in other ages, everybody come on, let's go. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Can we take verse 6? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of in Christ by the gospel. So that's what he's referring to. That you are established on the truth that God revealed by his holy apostles and prophets. He's not talking about every local church you have apostles and prophets. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that the gospel that we believe was given to us by who? Holy apostles and prophets. Specific ones. Who we call, Brother Hagin will call them, and I agree with that, the foundational apostles or foundational prophets. Those who laid the foundation of the doctrine of the church. That's not a continuous work, that's a past tense work. Are you still there? Are you still there? That's why Paul will say, I have laid the foundation. Alright? 1 Corinthians 3:12. Let the one that builds upon take heed how he builds upon. So, to be built upon will mean we are now growing on what they have taught. So that's why we say that the canon of the scriptures is already closed. You don't add the revelation to this one. The revelation is already concluded. So, in this instance, he's referring to certain apostles and prophets. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. Come on. Can you see? Let me see your hand. Come on. Wait to me. Let me see it. Praise God. To see how you respond to that. So, now this is different from Ephesians 4 in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That is, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, pay attention, that is the building up of the body of Christ, till each of us, that is, each of the saints, and that's the word all. Remember the word all? Come on now. Look at Philippians 4:12. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Like to slap you? I can slap you through Christ that strengthens me. I know you're going to say, what does that mean? The word all cannot mean everything imaginable. I was teaching somewhere in the Bible school, you know, and the provost of the Bible school is a pastor. He's talking, we're teaching them Bible interpretation. So I say, the word all. No, before that, I was talking about, and now that the weak say I am strong. Then we open to Joel 3:10. And I said, that's not a confession of faith. Yeah. So we checked it together. Everybody sat down in the old class. We read the scripture together. I said, read it yourself calmly. You don't drink coke. Be cool. Don't be in a hurry. Take it step by step. So we read it. I said, read the pretext. The pretexted pretext. Then read the post-text and get to the end. And we already know it. It's not a confession. It's actually a statement of sarcasm. And they saw it. I said, one more. How many of you have ever been in Joel's army? I said, you'll get out of that army shortly. So we read Joel's army is actually not Joel's army. It's the enemy's army. Who were bringing disaster to Israel. Do you still want to be in Joel's army? Everybody put their hands down. So when we're done, the wife of the pastor, she's looking at me. Looking at the scripture. And I'm looking back at her. She says, but sir, can't the Holy Spirit use that scripture to quicken something? And I said, no, he shouldn't. And I said, you know what? I said, okay, just like this. If I say, and I turn to the husband, because I know exactly what to say. He said, sir, if I take your wife, and I say, if I take your wife, no, not direct, not literal, so don't change your face, all right? If I take your wife and say, all things are mine, she's mine. He goes, oh no. I said, why are you? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. In 1 Corinthians 3:21. He said, no, that's not what the verse is saying. I said, oh. So it's interpretation by convenience. The scriptures cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. Can you remember that? Whatever the scriptures mean today will be the same thing it meant when it was written. The audience it was written to will have the same understanding like you and I today. I'm glad that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You are drawing apple and cars. The audience did not think he was talking about material things. What is eternal life? Sorry, English terms. What's eternal life? Eternal life. What's eternal? In normal English. Internal life. So, can you bought things before? Precious stones, nice shirts, nice cars. They've not been, they're not even eternal in any sense. On that day, it's not eternal. How can you now imagine that eternal life will refer to cars and houses? Obviously, that's not what he was saying. The scriptures cannot mean today what it never meant when they were. So when it says, I can do all things, what he meant was, said, I know how to obey to abound. I know how to have and not have. I'm instructed in all things. Then he says, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens. In other words, I can abase through Christ, I can abound through Christ, I can want through Christ, and I cannot not want through Christ that strengthens. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So when you say the word all, let it be either all this or each of this. So now let's go. Ephesians 4. Okay, let's look, Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? No, all these things. He said what it was. To whom he did foreknow, to them he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Say those that he foreknew, he called, predestined that he called, those he called, he justified, those he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not with him freely give us of each of these things? Is it very clear now? It's not anything I want. That's not what he's talking about. Am I making sense this morning? Come on, talk to me. Are you guys cold because you missed the rapture? Don't worry, there's a second one. I learned there's a supplementary list. You come and give me a seat to connect. If you sow into my life, you will make it. But I don't take naira. No. Because you are saying, don't you know how precious it is? I'll give you 666 in return. Let's go there. Come on, let's go. So go back to verse Ephesians 4:13. Till each of us, does it make sense now? Huh? Ephesians 4:13. Till each of us come to what? Ephesians 4:13. For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till each of us, right? Not all of us together. There's never going to be a time all of us are going to be knowing the same thing. It is till each of us come to the unity of the faith. Alright? The word unity of the faith there. Now take the word off away, because the word off is either silent or absent. Till each of us come to the faith one, the faith united, or the faith the same. Now when you say unity of the faith, the word unity is the word enotis. H-E-N-O-T-S. Enotis. Is the word harmony. Now, he had used the same word in verse 3 of chapter 4. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, even as you are called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father over all. In other words, he's saying is that till we all mature into what is common to the faith. What is common to the faith is not how we dress. What is common to the faith is not where we stay. What is common to the faith is not the clubs we support. Amen. Here we go. The unity of the faith will be what's common to us. So, the unity of the faith. Now, what does he say? What is common to us? Take it out. Till each of us will come to the unity of the faith or harmony with the faith, what is common to us? Huh? What's the next statement? Verse 13. Come on, raise your voice. Sir. The knowledge. So the unity of the faith is knowledge. The word there is epignosis. The knowledge of the Son of God. Now remember when he prayed earlier on in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. He said, we'll grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Epignosis. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. That's chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. In verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to the working of his almighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him as the right hand in the heavenly place. Far above all praise, far above man, dominion, every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He had put all things under his feet, verse 22. Gave him the head of all things to the church. His body, verse 23. The fullness of him that filleth all in all, chapter 2, verse 1. And you. So, he's saying that each of us will come to the knowledge of what happened to Jesus when he died. How he rose from the dead. How he sat down at the right hand of the Father with all authority and dominion. He says that each of us shall come to that knowledge. He says, to the unity of the faith, which is what? The knowledge of the Son of God. So, the unity of the faith is not all of us laying down what we believe and forgetting about it. No. It's actually all of us coming to know that we don't have diverse faith in the body of Christ. There's just one singular knowledge everybody ought to grow in. Since the unity of the faith, then he now mentions, pay attention now, verse 13, a perfect man. Remember I told you that there were two words used in there. The first one is katatismos, which is what? Come on, respond. What's the first one? Katatismos in verse 12. What's about? To what? Raise your voice, come on. To equip you. Good. I said the second one is teleios. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Which is to reach a destination. Or to be one mature. So now, he uses that here now. A perfect man. A mature man. A mature man. That is maturity. Maturity to the mature man. So, pay attention. That each of us are mature. Now, what's going to mature all of us? Different experiences or the same food? Huh? The same food. Don't say, you know, the way God treats us is very different. The way God deals with you is very different from the way he deals with me. Me, you know, that the way God understands me, he understands my case, my situation, my background, my family, my history, my post-history, we must feed on the same thing. Now, who are the ones who give us this to be fed? Who's going to do that job? Whose job is it? Verse 11. So the equipping of the saints is not giving us t-shirts. See, I like my church. And my church, every October 1st, we wear t-shirts. Then we march around Lagos. Nigeria, we be one. That's what you are doing in church. It's just, you see, when you see people do things like that, most of the time the pastors are confused about their work. See, you know, many of you know that I'm a political person. I'm very political. Not small. Those of you who have been here for years know I'm very political. Very political. All these IPOB I get involved in discussions, but not in the church. That's not my job as a pastor. I also like sports. That's obvious. And football, I watch the EPL. And you know I'm very committed. You can see from my life in football that I'm a committed person. No matter what, when trouble comes my way, I will stay. Do you get it? I'm also involved in other things, you know, philanthropy. I lead organizations that are not spiritual, where we even pray the Muslim prayers. I didn't say I pray it. I lead organizations where we have atheists, agnostics. I mean, I'm the leader, and it's a global body. But you see, that's not my work. That's not my work as your pastor. That's not why God gave me to do. So I don't cross my responsibilities. That would be an abuse of my responsibility. So because I would have loved this, because I'm an Arsenal fan, to insist. I would have loved it, really. Particularly some people who are looking at me. I would have loved it for scripture to say, everything your pastor likes, you must like it. If I'm still praying, it's somewhere in the Bible. I have some enemies I'm watching out for. I said, you see, if you want to make heaven. But you know, jokes apart, the point is this. Some folks don't know what they're called out to do. You're not told to be doing roads. You're not a local government. Your job is cut out for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And it shows you what he's talking about. Now, is it wrong for a believer to do roads? No. But that's the job. That's not the job of a pastor. Praise the Lord. So to me, what are you doing in your church on October 1st? I said, what's October 1st? Say, Nigeria will be one. Have you described some people, when they give prophecies in January 1, it's always localized. In this recession. So that means if you're in South Africa, you cannot receive it. The man is talking from his mind. The Lord is saying to me, there will be no division in this country. What about those in America? What about those in Europe? Because your mind is saying to you, it should not happen. Praise the Lord. You get it? So, sometimes it's people really don't know what they are called out to do. So it's just for the perfection of saints. That's the job of the local church. It's not for me to discover my chosen career. Say, thank you, Pastor. You know, every time I listen to you, you blow my mind. Don't blow my mind. I just begin to see the possibilities of my career. Now I know I can be a governor. That's the effect of your pastor's sermons. Change your church. No, not here. But I know other people are going to listen to me. Change your church. That is a career development center. Or Dream Realization Incorporated Foundation. That's an NGO. In this work, we see Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still there? We see Jesus. Now look at verse 14. Look at the exact opposite there. So the measure of the stature of the fullness, pleroma there, that is found in Christ. Can we take verse 14 together, everybody? Verse 14, let's go. Raise your voice higher than that. That henceforth, you be no longer babes. Now, that means babes is the word nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S. It means unlearned or an infant. Nepio, undeveloped child. One that is not grown up. That is the exact opposite of verse 13. Remember, verse 13 says, to the perfect man, teleos, the mature man. 14 is the exact opposite. Nepios. You can be growing in a church and you are not growing spiritually. And you are there for 20 years. We were there when we were using a shed. We moved to a hotel. I mean, yeah, I've seen this church, and you're there, and you're not growing spiritually. No longer babes. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, it is possible to be under a pastor who teaches the word of God and you are not growing. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. These were people under Paul's apostleship. Yet they were what? Babes. As unto babes in Christ. You can be in a church, you can be hearing God's word, and you're not growing. And the reason for Corinth, I've explained this to you over and over again. If you listen to the teachings, matters in Corinth. I think I'm going to take that again this year. Now the point is this. You can be somewhere and you're not growing. Why? Paul told us the reason. Within that church, he was like, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. They were having diverse influences in their spiritual life. As they were hearing God's word here, they were trying to match it somewhere else, and they were never growing up. Corinth. What is it? He says, toss to and fro. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:11. Toss to and fro. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Are you learning something? Galatians 3:13-11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Let's take it together now. Let's go. When I was in Nepios, are you there? Let's take it together. Let's go. When I was in Nepios, I spake as a Nepios. I understood as a Nepios. I thought as a Nepios. But now when I became a man, I put away what? Child. That means there are childish things. The way you reason, the way you talk, the way you understand things. How can you have a church service? It's like a Bible school. This is a Bible school. When we're going to Bible school, let us know we're going to Bible school. If I go to church, let me know we're going to church. And the guy is supposed to be a mature Christian. Huh? Why should I come to church and say Bible school? I was not planning to go to a Bible school. Why you come to church and make a Bible school? They say, what's a Bible school? Yes, Bible school. Where you learn the Bible? What's a church? A church? A church? But then, I know what I'm saying. What are you saying? A church is where we learn, not necessarily Bible. Because there's no Bible school in the Bible. The Bible school in the Bible is the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Something. Do you have a Bible school in St. Gregory's? We don't have. Our churches are Bible schools. Someone told me, I want to go to a Bible school. I said, I will introduce you to a website. When you get there, the taste for Bible school will escape from your mind. He got in there. He said, thank you. After a few months, he said, thank you for not allowing me to waste my time. We designed this church from day one. Not day two, even from pre-day one. To be about, because that's what we found in the scripture. Praise the Lord. There are things we will never do. Come rain, come shine. Rain happened to me. Some will happen later. Won't do. That you no longer put away childish things. Say, hey, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I didn't come to church. Nobody checked on me. When did you get born again? On the day of Pentecost. You still need somebody to be checking in. Yes now. Yes now. I'm human beings. Yes now. Yes now. You should understand. You know? I can't go to a church. And then, you know what I mean? It should be helps. You need to help me. Help me, you know, have business contact. You're a childish person. And you know, a child can be 70 years old. And you say, daddy boy. Because you're a child. You may be a grown-up adult, but you are a child spiritually. Praise the Lord. Now look at the trait of child, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 14. Toss, throw, and throw. What's throw and throw? Throw and throw. Today, you are here. Tomorrow, you are there. Don't go roll out their CVs. You've been around the body of Christ. But you see, you are not growing. Toss, throw, and throw. Toss, throw, and throw. See, I want to get deeper. I told you on Tuesday, Wednesday. You get deep, deep till you drown. You gotta be deep, deep. Toss to and fro. By every wind of doctrine. The slight cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait. The word lie in wait is the word methodia. M-E-T-O-D-E-I-A. It's the same word in Ephesians 6:11. Lie in wait. Ephesians 6:11. Are you still there? I said, are you still there? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there is scheming. It's actually a systematic thing. You know, there's something I talked to some pastors a couple of weeks ago. And I've said this before in many places, that whenever ignorance and false doctrine, whenever they become an institution, truth looks like rebellion. Some things have been schemed over the years, and they have become truth, even though they are lies. So sometimes these things are systematically done to program believers who are ignorant to reason somehow. He calls them schemes. Because your focus is taken away from Jesus. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. To deceive away from Christ. That's what the point is. So he says, the methodia here, which is what a systematic, organized way of doing things. Sometimes it becomes a denomination. That deception. Sometimes it has a crowd to it. Praise the Lord. So you are no longer a babe. Tossed to and fro. What does that tell you? That the proof of maturity is discernment. Your ability to know and spot error is a proof that you are growing up. God told me, he said, Pastor, hope is not bad. I now look at things more critically. I said, no, you are growing up. It's only a baby that puts everything in his mouth as food. Now you are growing up. Praise the Lord. You are growing up. You are able to judge. Because the guy that can judge, he's the one that is taking to and fro. Say, it's all Christ now. It's all for the Lord. Is it not good? Is it not right? Are you now saying, you know, he looks logical. Look at it now. You know, he thinks he's being nice, but you're actually a baby. I was looking at the minister's conference. I said, if your members receive every preacher, you are doing a bad job. There was quiet in the place. How can every preacher be preaching? And there are some people that should come here, and when they are talking, they will stop their sermon in the middle and let's pray. Yeah. What's going on now? People are not flowing. With what? They look like a river. See what you are saying with your mouth. A friend of mine is still my friend. Jesus was Zacchaeus' friend. He's preaching in our ministry years ago, 1996. And he's saying, The Lord told me, there are three keys to open heaven. And everybody began to laugh, literally, not figuratively. He didn't get it. Three keys to open heaven. Said, Jesus appeared to me in a vision. They laughed more. Said, number one, tithe. They laughed much more. He said, number two, prayer. They laughed much, much, much more. Then he now said, number three, worship. Then, so he said, the whole place was quiet. I mean, was dry for him. He said, so now what he's telling me now is that you will take one step and enter into the glory. Me and my other friend, we said, this guy just came to fall our hands here. Said, one, two, three, step into the glory. He alone did it. They were not laughing. That's descendant. But now, what I try to do is I try to ameliorate the challenges. I wouldn't advise you to do that to anybody. But I promise you, I shouldn't bring someone like that here. Because I'm drunk. But in case that happens, and I'm not drunk, don't laugh. Just go. I'm begging you ahead of time. Just be taking notes and draw Mickey Mouse. Come on, man. So that you encourage the man. What I'm trying to say is, you know, I'm at a conference. A man comes and says, you are blessed. I'm like, amen. You will be blessed. Amen. Take the blessing. Through the people. Amen. Are you an amen congregation? Amen, 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 amen. Ah! There should be all me. Praise the Lord. So discernment is a proof of growth. Your capacity to hear things and think about them and weigh them with God's word is growth. Sometimes it passes off like arrogance. It's not arrogance. Particularly if you are not given to showmanship or you are being rude or petulant or you are being arrogant to me, but you're just saying no. The word of God says this. That is growth. Praise the Lord. Alright, so let's quickly look at something. You know, we're talking about how to judge prophecies. A very important thing that people hardly realize is that the Old Testament prophet functioned differently than the prophet of today. However, there was something very unique to the prophet's ministry, whether you're talking about the Old Testament or the New. I did a bit of this during the week. I'll just repeat myself all over again. Now, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 9, Jesus makes a statement about John. John the Baptist obviously was a prophet. John 1:60 was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, Matthew 11, verse 9, Jesus says, for he, that is John, I send, verse 9, what you went out to see, a prophet, but I say unto you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, he's talking about John has more than a prophet, or put it like this, a greater prophet. That is, of all the prophets of the Old Testament, John was the greatest. Of all the prophets, John was the greatest. In Malachi 3 verse 1 and Malachi 4 5, John was prophesied about. I told you during the week that John was at this unique truth about himself. His own ministry was also prophesied. So he didn't just appear. He was also a prophet who came by prophecy. Malachi 3 and verse 1. A messenger. I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. Malachi chapter 4 and then verse 4, 5. I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and coming and dreadful day of the Lord. So, it was a prophet who was prophesied. Now look at this. He didn't do any miracle. How then would you call him the greatest prophet? He didn't do any miracle. He didn't at best heal stomach pain. No. He didn't at best heal a fly. He should, no doubt, because the healing power of God is present in every generation. But he Didn't. Yet, Jesus, knowing that fact, called him the greater prophet than all the ones before. Why was he called? In fact, in Matthew 11, in verse 12, he says all, in verse 11, he says all the prophets prophesied until John. I guess that's the verse. Until John. Verse 13. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He became the closure. That is, his revelation was what marked him out. John 1:29, Matthew 3:16-17, Luke 3:16-17. His revelation was what marked him out. That is, why he is called the greater prophet was about the things he said about Jesus. So in other words, prophets were so ranked based on what they revealed about Christ. He wasn't because he was able to predict the next president of South Africa. No. He wasn't because he was able to predict the result of a football match. Some do it. It's not because he was able to predict the death of people in a nation. No, those are the kind of things we seem to, you know, pick out from, which can be done by people who are not believers. It wasn't because he was able to prophesy on people and then they have money. No. It's because of what he preached and said about Christ. Let me show you how to follow what I'm saying here. You must see that that's a vital, a fundamental ingredient that you mustn't lose out. That's John. Yes, look at John. Let me pick out something for you. Matthew 11, verse 2. I start from 1. And it came to pass when John had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed hence to teach and to preach in their cities. Jesus, sorry. And then in verse 2. And when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Are thou he that shall come, or do we look for another? This is important. He says, find out from him. Are you the one to come? This is the man who showed Jesus to the whole of Israel. So, this is important. This is the greatest prophet, and yet you could find contradictions in his statements. Just like other prophets before him. You find contradiction in his statement. You also find things that he said that Jesus selectively referred to. For example, John said, He that cometh after me is greater than me. He said, I baptize with water. Alright? But he, verse 16, Matthew 3, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John says, he will not do what I did. Mark that out. So Jesus, therefore, will not, there will be things the prophets will do that the Christ would not do. That's the first thing. Then he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see that in Matthew 3:16-17 and Luke 3 as well. But Mark 1:8 and John 1:33-34 don't repeat the word fire. Jesus and some of the apostles, they subtracted the word fire away because there are things the prophets will say you'll have to delete some things. You delete it. Just like John did contradict himself. Now, Jesus quoted that statement in Acts 1:4-5. Said, not many days hence, said, John verily baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So, Jesus makes a clear distinction between what John did and what he did. And number two, Jesus did not repeat the word fire. So, it's important to see that the focus of the Old Testament prophet's ministry was Christ. The truth or the revelation they had about Christ. Now, Jesus made mention of Elijah and Elisha. Luke's Gospel chapter 4. He made mention of Elijah and Elisha. He mentions both of them. But not what they preached. Luke 4, verse 15. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. Even the heavens were shut 3 years and 3 months, 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 27, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha and the prophet, that none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So they were at miracles. But look at the emphasis Jesus gave on their miracles. It was almost insignificant to what he said about what they said. So what is important about a prophet is what did he say about Christ. In Matthew 17, verse 5, we find a vision where Elijah and Moses appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, or Mount of Transfiguration now called. In verse 5, they heard a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The word "hear ye him" has two connotations. Give heed to him, and also he is the message. The focus is away from the personalities of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. The focus here is not on John the Baptist. The focus here is on Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, 6 to 8, 16 to 18. You can check that also. He said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." So it's important that we know the message of the prophet was really the focus. Look at Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. Jesus answering unto them said, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Not the miracles, not the signs and wonders, not the visions they had for kings or their nations, the things concerning himself. Verse 44, "All things in these must fulfill which I said unto you while I was with you, that were written in the law of Moses," Luke 24, 44, "in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me," Luke 24, 44, verse 45, "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Hebrews 1, 1. "God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets." The word "sundry times," diverse manners, is the word "polumeros" and "polytropos." That is, impartial revelation of the truth. And in different ways. So, the prophet of the Old Testament had partial revelation of the truth. Verse 2, "as in these last days, spoken to us in his Son." Once in his Son. 1 Peter 1:12. We saw that yesterday. "Of whom they revealed, not themselves." 1 Peter 1:12. We saw that yesterday. It was on Friday. That the prophets did not, it wasn't about themselves. It was about Christ Jesus. So the focus of the Old Testament prophet was who? The revelation of who? Jesus. Let's take more. Acts 13, verse 32. Acts 13, verse 32. Okay, let me just take verse 38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Can we take verse 39 together? "That by him are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses." Verse 27. "For all that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets." He called that truth the voices of the prophets. Acts 10, 43. Acts 10:43. "To To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 10:3, referring again to the prophets of the Old Testament. Let's take one more, or two more together. Acts 26. Let's take it together. Acts 26 and verse 22. Acts 26 verse 22. Let's go. I'll take three more actually. Let's go. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to be the witness in both to the small and great. Let's go together. Saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. 23. That Christ shall suffer, and that he should be the first to rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. See Acts 2. Acts 2:21. Whom the heaven must receive until the restoration or time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Romans 3:21. About Romans 1:1 first, then Romans 1:1 and 2, then Romans 3:21. Paul, Romans 1:1, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Let's take verse 2 together. Come on. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and what? The prophets. So again, what was the emphasis of the prophets again? Christ Jesus. So, if you go and read the Old Testament and you get so fixated on the miracles, the things they said to kings and nations, you are losing track of the reason for your study. What's important is what they said about Jesus. Elijah had signs and wonders, but that's why we have no message from him. Almost nothing recorded from him about Christ. That's why he wasn't referenced by many of those who wrote the epistles, or even all, except James. And Paul didn't give him so much of a good reference anyway. Romans 16:26. But now is made manifest, that's talking about Jesus, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Read Hebrews 1:1 the other time. 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify, signify when testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and what else? The glory that shall follow. So, let me ask a question quickly. The focus of the Old Testament prophet was on who? Jesus Christ. Very good. Okay, very good. Now, their mode of preaching Christ was to foretell. Foretell is F-O-R-E-T-E-L-L. Foretell. To say something before it happened. That's what they're called prophet. They had other things they did. They said things about people that happened and all that. But the focus was to foretell Christ. Foretell Christ. And so, while the focus of the New Testament prophet is to foretell, F-O-R-T-H-T-E-L-L, that is to speak from what has already happened. To speak from what has already happened. Foretell. So, Ephesians 4:11. Apostles, prophets, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we all come to the unity of the faith. Don't forget that. To the knowledge of the Son of God. Is that about a future event or a past event? Talk to me, church. Past event. Very good. Again, the prophets of the Old Testament majorly focus on Israel from the time of Moses, and Israel and kings. Alright? And so that's why they spoke to kings. But now, because kings were also in authority and priests. But in the epistles, or in the church time, or church age, the focus of the prophet will be with ministry gifts. They function alongside ministry gifts. Ephesians 4:11. Prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastor, and teacher. Ephesians 3:5. Apostles and prophets, holy apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2:20, the foundations of apostles and prophets. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Look at it together. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, 1 Corinthians 12:28, secondly prophets, and thirdly teachers. Pay attention to something here. That shows that the place of primary assignment, PPA, you know, when you are in a, you get a, your job description, you get a, an offer of appointment, give you a job description. They'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You get it? And then maybe the very first day, everybody has, there's a dinner in your office. Everybody, every first day. Then next day you say, when is the next dinner? He said, go and look at your appointment later. You should know why you are here. You are not here for dinner. You should know what's primary to you. So, the primary thing that you ought to do will be your primary servant. Pay attention now. The primary work of the prophet is in the church. Is not to the president of the nation. People make a mistake. They think because he spoke to kings. They spoke to kings in the Old Testament. Notice that there are no kings in the body of Christ. The kings are in the world. So, for the perfecting of the saints, not the perfection of the nations. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, not the perfecting of the nations for good governance. Don't mix things up. So, the work of the pastor or the prophet is within the local church or to the body of Christ. And look at the book of Acts, you will see that the prophet was not found talking to kings. The fellow who did it, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, wouldn't like to do it again. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. And he still continued doing ministry. He was setting up his ministry all over the place, kept baptizing people with water. And then got to a point, started writing articles to go to the government. He said, that guy is a true prophet. I like hearing his TV program. He speaks to power. He speaks the truth to power. He took his human rights activism. He speaks the truth to power. He can talk to the president. That man is a true prophet. How can you say you are a man of God? And you are saying nothing about what is going on in my village. If you say something, the man of God will rise up. Everybody will rise up and say something. Speak the truth to power. Say, where do you find that? Elijah. Who else? Jeremiah. What about John the Baptist? He said, he that is after me is greater than I. Jesus had no sermon for governance. Even though, in the time of Jesus, there was slavery. There was tyranny, or tyranny. Can I call it tyranny? Someone says tyranny. Actually, my son says tyranny. I imagine. So I say tyranny, or tyranny. Or Thai tyranny. So, he goes, look. And John is angry. Why won't Jesus write a book on bad? How can the king have another person's wife? Is that right? Is that the right thing to do? Jesus said nothing. Paul had no governance series. Good governance. Let's change this society, Paul. Let's change this society. We hold our hands. Say, queue. Make sure you queue. You're doing a series on that. It's a nice thing, no? But is that what you're called to do? Queue at BRT station. You don't know what BRT is. BRT is the boss. Some people don't know what it is. You don't always think that people take BRT like you. Praise the Lord. The BRT. Tell her. Huh? Say yes. Let us be good citizens. Yes. Be a good citizen of Nigeria. Don't drop litter on the road. Don't litter the road. Yes. When you are using your car horn, you don't remember between horn and honk. Say the guy was honing the car. Ah. That's very terrible grammar. It is the on. What you do with it is onk. Amen. Up up, Jesus. This is a revelation now. Apocalypse. You say, yeah, see, I like that service. That's why I explained on and off. That's why you came to the service. So you know when you get a traffic light, make sure you stop. They are good advice, but that is not the work of the church. Praise the Lord. Pay your taxes. It's good. There'll be a series on it. That's right. He had no sermon. Paul was with Agrippa and Festus. He didn't say, I've been wanting to talk to you people. Now is my time. You can't go scot-free. You cannot put people under dominion and dominance. It's not good. See my people who don't have us to do this right shops. Wickedness. That's not your job. Is it right to do that? Yep. Some can do it. I can advocate for things like that. Yeah. But I would advocate for them as a pastor. That's not what I'm, that's a different thing. Just like Paul was a tent maker and there was no series on tent making in the Bible. How to make tents. Entrepreneurship. He didn't do that. And I'm very sure he must have taught people those things, but not the church. So you must know your job. So the prophet, look at Acts 11, prophets were found in the church. Acts 11:27. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem, that's the church, to Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great birth throughout all the world. And came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Disciples, you know, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren, which were in Jerusalem, in Judea. So he prophesied, he had something about what happened in the world, but he gave it to the church. To the church. Acts 13. Verse 1. Now there were certain prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. Acts 13:1. Acts 15:32. Acts 15:32. Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Acts 15:32. Acts 21:7. Acts 21, did I say verse 7? Acts 21:11. Or verse 10. And we tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. He was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. He's prophesying to a saint, to the church. He's talking to the church. So see what their work was. 1 Corinthians 12:28. He said, some in the church. In the church. 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If there be any prophet, where? In the church. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let the prophet speak to us, and let the other judge. In the church. 1 Corinthians 13:2. And the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. Where? In the church. Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 3:5. Ephesians 2:20. So the prophets were found within the church. And so that already shows you that the focus of their ministry will be to reveal who Christ is. Even when they had things about the world, it was given so that the church could find relief. Agabus. Even when he prophesied in Acts 21 verse 10 and 11, it was again around the gospel. That's the prophet's ministry. So, it's important for us to know the primary duties or duty of the prophet. So don't forget, we're looking at how to judge prophecy. So the first thing is, because most of the prophecies that get people on the edge are given by prophets. First thing you have to realize is this fellow functioning in his office? That's important. Now look at something Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I showed this during the week. I'm just going to do it again. Deuteronomy 18. Sorry, Deuteronomy 13. Verse 1. So, a prophet must be judged in how much of people's lives he knows about. Huh? Is it possible for him to also reveal things about people's lives? But how we judge him will be what? How he reveals will Christ Jesus. Never forget that. Now, look at what Moses said. Very instructive information. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spoke of you, saying, that is, he has given a sign and a wonder. He talks about Arsenal winning Champions League. Oh, no, not this year. Jesus Christ, I said. Praise the Lord. That can be a prophecy. Well, you guys are so funny. I'm your pastor. I'm saying something about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You're not receiving it? Too bad. But he prophesies and he says, this person is the next governor. And the person, you know, says, wow. It's something we're catching. Thank God. Comes to pass. He says, in such and such time, this is going to happen. It comes to pass. Then he does another wonder. Woo! This guy is authentic. Authentic. He told me my phone number. That's the queerest I've ever heard. For what purpose? And my account number. I'm aware that there are several people. Don't let me give you something you don't want to hear. What does this mean? This is when I was small. He says, if it comes to pass, then he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known. Let us serve them. Thou shalt not what? Hearken to the words of that prophet or the dream of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He is saying to you, don't follow a prophet because the things he says come to pass. Praise the Lord. He's saying, you wear your test of prophet, he's by his message. Does his message reveal Christ? Does he reveal God to you? Does it make you follow God? And there's so many of them. I say this, and you don't have to like what I'm about to say. Revelation, prophecies, miracles are not exclusive to Christianity. The moment you come out of that delusion, you will grow up. It's the most foolish thing to think that anything that is miraculous is Christianity. That is stupid. You can say that to small, but when you grow old, my dad told me something amazing. Because when he got saved, we now got talking. He said, you know why it took me a while to believe the gospel? That you preach, born again, you know. Because he told me never to be born again. My first major thing I disagreed with him over was that he told me not to be born again. That's foolishness. Then I heard the gospel, I got born again, and I said, if this man can be wrong on eternal life, he can be wrong on anything. I never thought he could be wrong. So, years later, we got talking. He said, you know the things, why I never believed these things? And of course, he knew that I was listening to some people who were saying what I'm about to say. So how can you tell me, at my age, that I need to follow God to be rich? Say, at my age. Say, that is nonsense. And you know how old I am? Do you know how many people I have seen? They tell me, no, I have to go to church to do this. No. So that made him hate what was. So every time I was even trying to share things, he just looked at me like this. You're just deceiving people. His own son. But when he heard the gospel, see, then he believed. Don't attach it to material things. You know, he was able to do that. So the truth is this, miracles are not exclusive to Christianity. I hope you realize that. Jesus said the same thing. He said, one of the proofs of the Antichrist, so we'll call the Antichrist, or the false prophet, they will do mighty signs and wonders. How would that now be the proof that it's of God? What is exclusive to Christianity is the message of Jesus. Not even morality. Not good organization. Not structure. Not even good music. Oh, but forget good music. Not good music. My best musicians are not Christians. Okay, there's a Christian out there, but they're not. And you don't blame me for that. My best lecturers were not believers. In fact, the believers were the opposite. How many of you have that testimony? No, you're keeping quiet. Folks who taught me, who mentored me in the business world, were not believers. In fact, the two major ones are Muslims. So it doesn't make sense to begin to accord to Christianity what is not exclusive to it. Let me see how funny what I'm saying here. He says, the guy says, you now follow another God. He said, do not do that. You shall walk after this for the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandment and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. So the focus is, what does he reveal about Christ Jesus? In chapter 18, verse 9. I hope you're learning something here. Are you learning something here? Verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak of, that shall speak in the name of other gods, even the prophet shall die. He was so strong about this. Moses said that fellow who tells you something else apart from the Lord your God, he said, take him out. You want to take him out? Take him out. That's Moses in his anger. But the truth here is that you listen to a man based on what he says about Jesus. There's a guy in Lagos here who they call a prophet and all that. And I said, well, they always tell me all the miracles he does. I said, and I asked the fellow, I said, what have you learned in his ministry about Jesus? He said, we will not say that. I said, you see the problem. What have you learned about Christ? Oh, the guy is very simple. He gives to come here. I won't beat you. He's simple. Didn't you hear what Paul said? He said they would deceive the heart of the innocent with their fair speeches. Nice words. And they can, some people can toast you. You feel loved. You're a champion. There's nobody like you. Nobody has your fingerprints. Is that the gospel? I'm telling you something. There's a drop of greatness in every man. How is that the gospel? I celebrate you. What am I celebrating? That you don't pray? You are a piece of the universe made alive. I'm telling you something. It's fair speeches. Nice words to deceive the hearts of the saints. That's toasting. You know you do that to marry a woman. The only time is you're permitted to lie is to your wife. You know, you're everything in my mind. And you're watching the football game, she's talking, say, let me finish now. Football. <no? laughs> So you know. He said, God will not hold you responsible. Don't quote me. You are the apple of my eye. And you don't like apples. 1 John 4. Are you learning something? So, what is the proof of growth again? Discernment. Your ability to judge things. And judge them properly, don't forget. 1 John 4. And verse 1. Are you there? Right, let's go. Beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits. The word there is diakrino. Try the spirits. That's it, diakrino. So it's dokimazo. Test for the truth. Dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Test every spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone to the world. Pseudo-prophetess. Whereby you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God. Every spirit that acknowledges not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So you will know a false prophet by what he says about who? Jesus. Believe not every spirit. So what you're going to look out for is the message. Jesus used the same things about this. Matthew 7:15. Beware. You're only growing up. Beware. He used false prophets. Matthew 7:15. Beware. The word beware is blepo. Remember blepo? You look and observe very well. Beware. You don't see a false prophet because he wears white garment. No. In fact, you'll be more deceived by the ones that wear suits. And looking good. See how the fellow I was talking about the last time, in case you don't know who I'm talking about. In the 80s, in the early 90s, it was so clear. This guy was into shamanism, was a magician. Everybody saw it. But after a while, he saw what would deceive people. He started wearing nice things. Speaking English. Did his auditorium very well. Well, look at it now. I started associating with people who were born again, or who should be born again, or who are still born again. That's deception. Deception is not as simple as you think. So Jesus said, beware. The word there is look closely of false prophets. Matthew 24:11, the same thing. Matthew 24:24. Matthew 13:22. Luke 16:32. Okay, let me leave that. Matthew 24:11 and Matthew 24:24. Beware. False prophets are real. Do you hear me? They are real. Can a false prophet prophesy to come to pass? Can he do signs, wonders, and miracles? How do I detect him? His emphasis on Jesus. Acts 13:6. A false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. 2 Peter 2:1. There are false prophets among you. So I look out for a prophet by what he says about Christ. Not the things he says that come to pass, but what he says about Christ. Did you notice something in Acts 15? I was saying this a while back. When there was an issue the church had, whether the Gentiles could receive, and then Paul and Barnabas obviously had miracles, signs, and wonders that they had done. And so they brought the issue to the church in Jerusalem. Before they listened to their miracle testimonies, they first of all had to prove whether what they were teaching was scriptural or not. They didn't first say, let's hear the miracles. Oh my God. You mean you raised 26 dead? Yes, sir. With it. See their pictures. 14. Oh my God. God is good. No. They didn't do that first. The Paul said, bring what you are teaching. Let's look at it. That comes first. Praise the Lord. Are we to celebrate miracles? Yes, we should. Glory to God. By all means, let's do it. Let's thank God. And we're going to see more and more. Praise the Lord. But first things first. What is the emphasis on Jesus? What's the emphasis on Christ? 2 John 2. You learning something here? 2 John 2. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and brings not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him God's food. Doctrine. What does he teach? Examine what a man says in Christ. The focus, your focus must never be on signs and wonders. Your focus must be on the revelation of Jesus. In Galatians 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ for another gospel. So you look at it. Does the prophet emphasize the grace of Christ? Verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that will pervert the gospel of Christ. The word trouble is the word tarazo. They make you unsettled. So, the guy saying things that come to pass or is able to pick out phone numbers or marital maiden names of people isn't the issue for me. The issue for me is, so then, does he preach Jesus? Does he end the service? Then everybody becomes unsettled in their knowledge of Christ. Paul says, let the person be anathema. Verse 8 and 9. Anathema. Anathema there means separate yourself. Don't allow him to your meetings. Treat him as something that mustn't be touched. Whoever the fellow is. Verse 8 and 9. He said, even if I come back to you, treat me that way. Even if another angel from heaven comes, then treat him that way. Praise the Lord. Revelation 19:10. So I judge a prophecy by the message it carries. I judge a prophecy by the message it carries. Revelation 19:10. Are you in church? Come on, guys. Are you in church? Look at this. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy servant, fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. He uses that word twice. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? Now let me explain that to you. It means the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit's prophecy. That's the word prophecy there. The Spirit's prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is what? The Spirit's prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit's utterance. So if it's by the Spirit of Christ, it will have the testimony of Jesus. It will bear the witness, the marks of Christ. For example, I must have said it to you. I was somewhere in 1995, I believe, and there were this was a vigil. And I was preaching. There were like four preachers, I think. I was the third in the queue. So a guy came up and he is speaking and then he's doing things and I'm watching him, nothing. Then he calls out a lady and says, the Lord showed me that you were, so I think he mentioned that she was a call girl, something like that. And then how she had several people. The lady was actually, I think, the leader in that church. Immediately I jumped and I said, keep quiet, sir. I won't do that again. So, keep quiet, sir. That's not the law. That your sins and iniquity, I remember them. She's born again. She's a new creature in Christ. And you know what happened? The moment I said that, the man froze there. He couldn't even do anything again. Myself and a friend of mine were in a conference in 94, I think, it was the same year as 95. And then we sat somewhere, and this man, the man was doing all sort of prophecy. No, lots of stuff. And then he said, hey, these two people, get them out of this church. He said, if they don't get out, I cannot minister. We were laughing. And they booted us out, really. Because obviously, he wasn't ministering by the Holy Ghost. Remember, a lady who told me how another woman who now became my mother-in-law will always give her prophecies and come to pass and all that. And I told her, I said, and she used to hear God's word. I said, are you sure that we are dealing with the Spirit of God? She said, sir, I know what I'm saying. This is genuine. She has done this. I said, are you sure that we are dealing with the Spirit of God? She said, look at this very well. Does this bear the marks of Christ? You can't do things you want to do. You can't go to places. She practically teleguides you. Don't drink, don't take. I said, no, sir, I've seen it. So I kept praying for her. So she told me, she now came around and heard the word for a while. She now told me what she did. She didn't tell me before she did it. She told me what happened, she did it. Then she was supposed to travel down for a meeting we were holding. And the same woman said, if you go, the Lord shows there's blood, there's death. She said, she smiled. She says, today that this influence will break. She traveled. She didn't tell me. She traveled, came for the meeting, and went back. That's all. That was the end. From that day henceforth, the woman has not been able to prophesy a lie against her. Okay, so he said, the Lord told me that you should not travel for 3 months. I said, seriously? I was in the battle. So hold on. I didn't plan it to. I just came to Lagos and I went back. That's all. You are crazy. Not crazy, crazy. Hallelujah. Does it bear the marks of Christ? God hasn't given to us the spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. There's no fear in love. Praise the Lord. You know, God, even in giving his son, gave room to free will. Without threats. So what prophecy are you giving? And the guy says, the Lord is saying you cannot. The Lord has held you bound like this. Nothing you can do about it. The Lord. Even I, the Lord, I say it. No, it doesn't happen. You must judge it. Is this the Spirit's utterance? Does he bear the marks of Christ? Now, this does not mean the Holy Ghost cannot speak to you about your disobedience to God's word. You know, Jesus said, he that believes not is condemned. So we can say, hey, if you stand away from God's word, these are the implications of it. The Holy Ghost will not call unbelief faith, and faith unbelief. No, that's not what we're saying. John 3:16-17, he that believes not is already condemned. Mark 16:15-16. Are you there? Are you there? Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times that men shall depart from the faith. From the faith. That is from the gospel, from the message. Men shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits. Again, the focus is on the faith. On the faith. So that will be a warning for us not to depart from the faith. And look at the things he said they will say. Don't touch this. Don't eat this. Departing from the faith. Because it's seducing spirits. Seducing spirit is not mini skirt. Praise God. Or trousers. Or nice makeup. Seducing spirit is a doctrine. A doctrine that deceives you away from Christ. Seducing spirit. That's what it means. It's a teaching. It's not clothes. It's not makeup. Someone say amen. That's seducing spirit. Tell the truth. She's attractive and you like her. So when we hear prophecy, we're a judge. What does it, how does it mark? Does he have the marks of the gospel? Does he have the marks of Christ? Does the gospel warn us about unbelief? Does the gospel warn us about unbelief? Very good. Does the gospel bring fear to our hearts?
No.
Does the gospel inspire faith? Points us to the love of God and the freedom that is in Christ Jesus? Very good. Does the gospel tell you who to marry? It says who. Are you to marry anybody? Does the gospel point out who you should marry? The Lord is saying right now that if it's not brother so and so. Who is so and so? It's not him. The Lord is saying, The road is rough. I can see the road. Brother, these glasses. Where were we? So the Spirit of God can point things out. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you learning something here? Some folks wrote out prophecies at the beginning of the year, and I asked a guy, pick out Christ in all of this. No Christ. All crisis. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let the prophets 29 speak 2 or 3 and let the other what? George. The word there is diakrino. Discern. Not discern how they dress. Forget about that. A guy can be neatly dressed and is a false prophet. A guy can wear tattered jeans and is a man of God. That means he wears tattered jeans. A guy can say that what you want is appearance. So just be nice. Bless you. Shandai. And you're like, I like that man. He's so simple. He's a simple man of God. He's simple. And he's deceiving you. That's not the point. Let him judge. Judge what? Judge what they say. Then he says, if anything be revealed to another since by, let the first hold the peace. You judge by the words of Christ. You judge by the revelation of Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is not just for information, it's also for discernment. Does this bear the marks of Christ? First Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies, can we take it together? He that prophesies speaks unto, I'll wait for you, let's take it. He that prophesies speaks unto men, unto what? For edification, what? Exhortation and comfort. Actually, the word is actually edification. He only explains edification by using two words. Exhortation, which is the word parakaleo, or from the word paraklesis. To call somebody from afar to bring him near. If it's a prophecy of Jesus, it brings people near. Also, the word comfort, it means tenderness. Paramuthio, P-A-R-A-M-U-T-H-U-E-O. The word para shows you something, it will call you near. Paramuthio calls you near. It will call you near. It will bring you near. Even when you are being warned or corrected, it will what? Bring you near. Those are the marks of Christ. Those are the marks of Jesus. In verse 4, he speaks, he that speaks in tongues speaks to edify himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5, the church may receive edifying, to be built up, to be established. Establishing where? Established where? In Christ. Prophecies ought to establish us where? In Christ. Again, chapter 14, again, we're there. It says in verse 19. Verse 17. Thou givest thanks very well, but the other is not edified. Let the people be edified. In 26. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. So even when I'm correcting, it must be done with edifying. 2 Corinthians 13. Can a prophecy in Christ bring correction? Can it bring correction? All right, very good. Can it bring exhortation? But the correction will be to build you up. Imagine telling someone, the Lord saying to you, you mustn't take coke and bread. The Lord, coke, in Christ. The lady had been like that for years. So I said, hold on there. Don't bring coke and bread. She said, sir. I said, what? You are taking it now. Don't bring the coke and bread. You got to bring coke and bread. Oh, yeah, eat. Sir, eat. Is it coke and bread or coke and rice? Is it rice? It's rice. I always mix it up. I've met different people. Hey, today. Here's the coke. You are blessed. God punish that prophet. What silly prophet is that? Praise the Lord. Are you there? Does it bear the marks of Christ? The marks of Christ has free will. You will choose. Lord is saying to you, this is correct. Stop following Chelsea. Say, Lord, stop following Chelsea. That is. You don't believe that from the Lord. So I've become false prophet now. Lord will judge all of you. You know, you look at that and say, what are you talking about? A man said it, that if you miss church and you are following, you want to watch EPL when church is going on, that you will not make the rapture. And I said, seriously? I won't. Just last week, I was supposed to preach in the afternoon. And I told my host, let me tell you something, Steve. I've already preached 2 services this morning. If you want your baby to be blessed,
move that service to 3:30. Because Davina said, listen well to what he's saying. He knows what he's saying. He said, oh, I said, ah, I've not said anything. You are the one that will conclude in your mind. He said, thank you, sir. He said, very good. So he now gathered his friends and then people in his church, and they were praying that we should not lose the day. I am not joking, no. And they were praying. He said, Pastor, how did it go? I said, it's okay. Now let's get blessed. How is somebody now say if you miss? No. I'm not saying you should miss service. I'm just saying that's not of God. That means the man of God is emotional. You know, sometimes you can pop a lie out of emotion. You're angry. The Lord is waiting for you if you try. And because you know that the other things you've said have come to pass, you just put your own thing. I know what I'm sensing. I'm not sensing. So that's it. This one is true. You get the point? So say the Lord is saying, there are 30 people here, the Lord. I didn't come for everybody. Well, they said, you know, there are many widows in Zarephath. Only to one. Come, don't twist the scripture. It was only one that received him. Jesus was teaching honor, not selectiveness. Don't twist the scripture. So only to one. I have just 50 people here. Just 50. Just 50. Mark is doing very well, though. They see 51, though. 52. Watch it closely. His calculation. 50 billionaires are in this place. If you would dare God, dare him now. And so that's it. Hey! Lord Jesus. What of care that Jesus never gave in his life? $10,000. Say Psalm 118. I said, I swear, if I lie, let my tongue keep to the groove of man. I don't know. You know, at least we believe in the grace of God. Sunday. Say, that's a false prophet. Say, but he's a nice guy. You see, you are losing your discernment. Nication has nothing to do with deceit. He's a false prophet, or at that moment, he functioned in the office of a false prophet. Any one of the two. You get the point. God doesn't do that. Jesus didn't, the apostles didn't do that. Praise the Lord. The Lord is saying to me, if you don't marry Sister Amokwe, it's not. If you marry Sister Amokwe, that's the end, though. Your ministry will never, ever prosper. Okay, I'm not married. Ha! False prophecy. Does he have the marks of Christ? Does he draw people there? 2 Corinthians 13. When I was on campus, there was a guy who was close to me. Then the guy, what we call backslide, he stopped becoming fervent. So the guy got so angry. And the guy, you know, some guys, when they backslide very well. It's like backflip. You see it and say, Jesus. So I was trying to exhort the guy. Then one guy came and said, the Lord showed me something. He said, what I saw. But check what I saw is very tough. What I saw, I said, what did you see? What I'm seeing. I can see blood. Blood for what? That is blood. If he does not repent, the Lord is saying in 6 months that he will die immediately there. I didn't kill him. I waited till 6 months. So I went to him with a cutlass. No, I'm madder these days, you know. There are things I did when I was younger, you can't imagine. I've not even told you 10% of it. I said, you have to do it. I didn't even see him in his house. I saw him on the road. I said, sir, what's that? I said, bro, what? Your prophecy must come to pass. I said, two things will happen. Is either your prophecy comes to pass, I'll do what Moses said we should do to you. To the glory of God, the guy eventually graduated and went on service here.
and became a preacher again. Today he's doing well. I told him all the time the guy was misbehaving, I said, you are going to preach the gospel. Me, I know. I've sowed seeds in your life. That's what I was saying. Praise the Lord. And you know, some people know we're in Africa. We have grown under abysses. In the natural. Normally. You know, in Africa, people take people's names to say, what's the name of that guy that you say loves you? Your full names. We're going to go and pray about it. It is worthy for five prophets. The guy will be rich. A prophet told me I'll be a pharmacist. I never told you before. There was one who prophesied that I was going to be an accountant. And so my father wanted to fill that in my exam form. He filled it. As I entered the school that I was taking for computer science and accounting, as I got to the school, as my father left the school, I went to change the course. So that prophet will be disgraced. I changed the course. My father did not know I changed the course until 2 years. Change, sir, yes. This is what me I want to do. Years later, I say, I'm proud my son is a lawyer. Can you imagine? That's how life is. Are you following what I'm saying here? It bears the marks of Christ. You have free will. Choose. You can choose to pray. Say the Lord say, your prayer life is going down. If you don't pray, hey! Let the Lord calm down. I will pray. Are you following what I'm saying here? Learn to judge prophecies on emotional. Even if it's your pastor talking, don't get carried away. Years ago, you know the story. I was sharing in the church I pastored before here in Ibadan there, 1999, I think, and I was sharing how to judge things. So you judge by the written word. Don't close your eyes, open your ears, listen very well. But say, And so Allah was there. Every time I say this story all over the place. So the next week was a Friday. We held our services then on Friday. I came back, and then I know how to do Pentecostal things. And then the technical stand was behind. So I came in behind. And I made sure that when I was coming, I came alone. So that nobody would see what I'm doing. So I went behind. I saw the guy in technical, he saw me. So give me the hand in mine. He was supposed to give me the Bible. I said, no. I was frowning and speaking in tongues. Ah, something's going to happen here. Came up. Now sound was on the keyboard instead of the keyboard. When Pentecostals hear keyboard. Keyboard takes away everything they think. I spoke in tongues. The Lord showed me. And I said, as I was saying it, the leadership in front, they raise their hands. They close their eyes. I said, see my life. My works are burning right in my presence. So I said, Mama was even shedding tears. Till I went behind and came out, their eyes were still closed. I just put the label. Says to all of you! Last week. Who closed your eyes? The Lord? Open your eyes. Open your ears. Hear everything He's saying. And your heart. Let the word of God that you know in Christ judge what you hear. Are you following what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 13. I hope you are learning something. In verse 10. Even when there's correction. I write these things being absent, being present. I should use sharpness of the power of the Lord given to me to edification and not to what? Edification and not to what? Destruction. It must edify. It must never destroy. It must bring people to the point where their trust in Christ remains the same. It mustn't destroy people's faith or assurance. My warnings to you will still point you to Christ. I warn you. So key things I must ask every time a prophecy is given. Number one. Is this prophecy in agreement with the epistles, the written truth in the epistle. Hope you are learning something here. Are you learning something here? There is a prophecy about things, oh, about your life. But judge it with the word of God. Does this prophecy? I know we said something, if you're listening, if you were law and prophets, that there are some prophecies that need not come to pass. Can you remember? They need not what? Come to pass. Prophecies coming to pass is your cooperation. I taught you that during the week. Can you remember that? Because look at this. Number one, is it in agreement with the word? With the epistles? With what? The epistles. Don't say the Lord is showing me that you are Israel. The Lord is showing me that. He said, I've given to you the keys of Babylon. Please put that down for me. But where is Babylon? Stop saying all those spooky things. I can see you are a bridge that links the use of Mesopotamia together with the... Please, can you please speak in English? Does it agree with the epistle? Number two. Does it edify, build you as a believer? Does it build you? Now, if a prophecy is materialistic, you should know that's not in agreement with the epistle. Does it build you? Number two. I'm just giving you, you know, it's not an order of priority. I'm just giving you some common sense things you should just do. Does it point to Christ's finished work? Or is it a revelation that was never written anywhere? Christ's finished work. Because we're already built on the apostles' doctrine. Does it point to Christ's work? For example, what I told you the other time about the guy that spoke about that lady, that's obviously not Christ's work. Praise the Lord. That's not Christ's work. So I was saying the other time, say, well, the reason why you did this and he did that, you know, the couple of things people say. The fact that it comes to pass, don't forget, doesn't mean the fellow is genuine. Does it point to Christ's work? Number four, is it for the church? Acts 11:28-29, we saw that Acts 13:1-2. Acts 21:10-11, is it for the church? Is it for the church? Does he edify the church? And then number five, what doctrine can you discern from what is being said? What doctrine can you discern from what is it, what's been said? Number six, I'm closing. Some prophecies carry revelation. That is, there's a fact it reveals to you. The fact it reveals to you. 1 Corinthians 14:28-29, or 29 and 30. If anything be revealed, check it. Sometimes that's a fact. It speaks about a date, a day, events about your life. Look at it. But you are still going to look at it overall in the light of who? The Word of God. Christ Jesus. Don't forget that. Then, does it come to pass? That's important. You also have to see whether it comes to pass. What do I do with prophecies given to me? Because after judging it, what do I do? In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul talks about, despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good. I have the responsibility to also know how to use prophecies. The prophecies of God is found in Christ. I've seen that this is from the Spirit of God. What do I do? I hold fast to it. He said, hold fast to that which is good. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, neglect not the gift which is in you, given thee by prophecy and laying on hands of the apostles. That means prophecies can be given that points me to my ministry, to the gift of God in my life. So it says, Paul says, don't neglect it. I remember virtually every prophecy I've been given about the gift of God in my life. I remember them very vividly. Because that's exactly what the prophetic utterances ought to do. My responsibility in Christ, who I am in Christ, my abilities in Christ, my walk in Christ. Then look at 2 Timothy 1:6. Tell the gift of God which is given thee by prophecy. And much vividly, not by prophecy, by laying of hands, sorry. vitally, 1 Timothy 1:18. I want us to read that one together. 1 Timothy 1:18. Hope you learned something. 1 Timothy 1:18. Let's take it together. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might what? Which went before on you. There are prophecies that are just about you. For example, as a church, we do say things about the Spirit of God that is just for our church. Just for our church. Things we do just for our church. And we have seen many of them come to pass. Just as they are said by the Holy Ghost. Many of them come to pass. It says, look at this. Which went before thee, and that thou mayest war a good warfare. The word warfare is the word stratuo. S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O. It's like strategies. It's like a soldier. You use them like a weapons of war. So prophecies, when they are tested, tried, and found to be in Christ, are now used. You can use them like a confession of faith. We cover the earth. We say it every time. We cover the earth. Jesus revealed around the world. We got that by prophecy. And we say it. And it comes to pass every day. Hallelujah. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Take a hold of that and say it. Lighting of the dark places. Praise the Lord. That's already happening. Praise God. Prophecy for our church. And we walk in the light of it. We walk in the light of it. In 2006, we spoke in a prayer meeting early in the morning, Saturday morning, last week, when we said, then 10 years from now, 2016, so and so will come to pass. And 10 years from that, but I have forgotten. It's sincerity. It's a pastor that reminded the pastor, this was prophesied 10 years ago, so and so. Earlier this year, we spoke about Eritrea. I told you about that. Someone recorded it. She showed it. I didn't know where Eritrea was. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the country. I said about it. And then we got mails from that nation. How the Bible school there, the major Bible school there, they use our teachings in their curriculum. And we said it by prophecy. I didn't even know. By them, we wage a good warfare. We take these prophecies, we pray with them. But I've been tested and proven that this is of Christ. It promotes the vision of Christ, the mission of Christ, the person of Christ, the abilities of Christ. Then with them, you wage a good warfare. There are those that will put your attention also on warnings. The Spirit speaks expressly in these last days. And men, some shall depart from the faith. Ensure that you are aware of that. The seducive spirit and devil's doctrine. Oh, don't touch this. Don't eat this. It's forbidden to marry. Take heed to that. Revelation 2 and 3. Let him that has an ear hear, not the epistles, what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it's at that point referring to, you know, what's consistent with the person and character of Christ. So you have a responsibility to judge prophecies. Number one, look at what the prophet has said. Never think because someone says something that comes to pass that prophecy is by the Holy Ghost. It must bear the marks of Christ, the word of Christ, the mission of Christ, the person of Christ, the abilities that are found in Christ. Then you walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Will you bless this morning? Talk to someone and share with you. 2 minutes.